This is your KVNF regional newscast for Thursday, December 11th. I'm Lisa Young. Montrose and Delta County school boards each held swearing-in ceremonies for newly elected directors at their last regular board meetings. They also held elections to decide board leadership positions. In Montrose County, Naisha Ballack was elected president, Ted Valero, vice president, Tiffany Vincent, board secretary, and Tom West was elected treasurer. In Delta County, longtime board president Dan Burke was replaced by Bethany Supis. Sheldon Keir was elected vice chair. Tony Bowling is treasurer, and the board unanimously appointed the district's administrative assistant as the assistant secretary. Montrose City Councilors considered a potential land trade with Volunteers of America that will ultimately benefit local nonprofit Magic Circle Theater. The trade includes the city selling land located off of Niagara Road to Volunteers of America, who will pay the difference for the land that the Magic Circle players currently lease from them. Magic Circle Theater is looking to expand, however, they don't own the land under the building. Here's City Manager Bill Bell on the proposed land swap.
Since we're not using our property to the fullest capacity, since they have their hands tied based on not owning the property, and based on the fact that Volunteers of America, who just built a new facility on their campus, would like to expand in the future, and they're landlocked now, they don't have any more room for expansion over there. It's a win-win all around, we think, for the community. And so this is the last step to start that due diligence period, with a closing scheduled for April.
Councilors unanimously approved the land trade proposal, again with a potential closing date in the spring. Our next two stories focus on two incidents that are impacting the environment in our region. Last December, a rupture on the Enterprise Products Pipeline in southwestern Colorado on tribal and county land caused tens of thousands of gallons of refined gasoline to be spilled onto Florida Mesa. Now the Environmental Protection Agency is getting involved in the cleanup process. For Rocky Mount Community Radio, KSUT's Clark Adamitis has more.
The gasoline pipeline rupture spilled an estimated 97,000 gallons on the Southern Ute Reservation and La Plata County land. Now, federal regulators are increasing their oversight. The Environmental Protection Agency will fulfill its federal trust responsibilities with the state of Colorado and the Southern Ute Indian Tribe over cleanup and hazardous waste management at the Enterprise Products spill site. The December 2024 rupture is considered Colorado's largest oil or gas spill since 2016. A failure of the pipeline or welding on Enterprise's Mid-America pipeline system sent gasoline rushing throughout Florida Mesa. Benzene has seeped within half a mile of the Animas River. Officials say the river is at low risk, but full remediation is expected to take years. Officials say that to date, more than 20,000 gallons have been recovered. The tribe contacted the EPA with, quote, significant concerns, unquote, about Enterprise's hazardous waste management. The tribe, the EPA, and the Colorado Department of Public Health have conducted a joint inspection this week to see if Enterprise has rectified the issues. For KSUT News, I'm Clark Adamitis.
Two Union Pacific locomotives hit a boulder and derailed into the Gunnison River in the Escalante-Dominguez National Conservation Area last Tuesday night. KVNS Brody Wilson has been investigating the environmental impacts of the accident.
Earlier this week, we reported on the Union Pacific train derailment on the Gunnison River near Whitewater. Two locomotives and several coal cars went into the river, releasing diesel, lubricating oil, and coal along the shoreline. Today, we're learning more about the environmental impact and the cleanup that's now underway. I spoke with Craig Myers, Response Section Supervisor with the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA.
On December 2nd, 2025, two locomotives derailed into the Gunnison River along with three additional rail cars. At the time of the incident, diesel and lubricating oil released into the Gunnison River and coal was spilled on the banks of the river.
A According to the EPA's incident reports, the two locomotives had the potential to release more than 9,000 gallons of diesel fuel. Meyer says the best estimate now is about 8,600 gallons made it into the river and along the banks.
Approximately 500 gallons of the fuel was removed from locomotive fuel tanks, meaning that approximately 8,620 gallons of fuel was likely released to the river and its shoreline.
Containment started quickly, and more booms were added as responders tracked how far the oil sheen had traveled downstream. Meyer says the response covers a long stretch of river.
In the response, containment and absorbent booms have been strategically placed and are being maintained at several key locations, working from upstream to downstream, the derailment area, 150 yards downstream, approximately 6 miles downstream at the Highway 141 bridge in Whitewater, and at the Redlands Dam boat launch in Grand Junction, which is 17 miles downstream.
Grand Junction Fire was also on scene the night of the derailment, and their hazmat team set the first containment in the water before contractors and federal teams arrived. Here's Dirk Kleeman with Grand Junction Fire.
We're there as an emergency response, as the hazmat response agency, to contain the spill, and then the longer-term cleanup process is being organized and handled by Union Pacific, and they have expertise in that field and resources.
Those first steps helped limit the spread of diesel while the EPA and the Union Pacific cleanup crews mobilized. Union Pacific is coordinating shoreline and surface water sampling in collaboration with BLM, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and other state and federal agencies. Myers says shoreline monitoring is mostly hands-on work.
It's largely a visual assessment of how much oiling occurred on the various types of shoreline embankments. If you think about a riverbank, it's got grasses that overhang into the water, or it may have a sandy beach-like area. Each of those is going to get impacted and recover from oiling differently. And so this assessment kind of catalogs where those different situations exist and how much oil they may have seen. And then that will in turn inform the responders and the cleanup contractors' actions to make sure that they remove oil where they need to, but they do so without causing more harm.
The EPA expects this shoreline assessment to guide the next phase of cleanup, but the long-term environmental impact is still unknown. Myers says it depends on many factors, including the season, the shoreline type, and how the fuel weathered once it hit the water.
There's a lot of site-specific things that have to be considered, the type of oil that was released, where it was at, what season it is. There's a lot of things that go into that kind of calculus of how of what those lasting impacts might be, and that's what the assessment's hopefully going to be telling us.
I asked Craig who is acting in the public's interest in this situation, ensuring that this stretch of river, much of it in a national conservation area, is fully and responsibly remediated.
Kind of depends on the time. Right now, it is EPA. Once the bulk of the fuel has been removed and they've finished their assessment, that will transition to more of a state oversight through the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment kind of for the long-term management and final cleanup.
Oil containment buoys remain stationed at key points along the Gunnison River. These slow the movement of diesel on the surface and help absorb what they can before it drifts further downstream. Again, crews placed that first boom at the derailment site, then added more about 150 yards downstream from there. An additional containment was set again at the Highway 141 bridge in Whitewater and further downstream at the Redlands Dam boat launch in Grand Junction, all positioned to intercept any fuel that moves as the river shifts. You can see photos of these booms at kbnf.org. EPA incident reports note that a gray sheen was briefly observed at the Persego wastewater treatment plant intake on the Colorado River in West Grand Junction. Sampling teams checked it immediately, and by the next morning, no sheen was present. But monitoring continues. All told, according to the EPA, 8,600 gallons of diesel fuel were released into the Gunnison River. Evidence suggests that at least some of that made its way to the Colorado River as well. KBNF will do a follow-up story after the assessment of shoreline impacts and the subsequent report are released. You can read the full EPA statement on the spill at kpnf.org, as well as access a link to their ongoing reports from the spill. For KVNF News, I'm Brody Wilson.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. For more local and regional news, visit kvnf.org. I'm Lisa Young.